And bring today's readings to us. Thank you.
Morena, good morning, everybody. Our first reading comes from Paul's letter to Philippian Christians, chapter 2, verses 5 to 11. There's more than a hint of tensions in the church. So Paul reminds them of what is thought to be an early Christian hymn. They probably know it already. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature of God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant. Being made in human likeness and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Whakarongo ki te kupu, ata wairua ki te hahi. Thanks be to God. Kia mau tonu tana kupu kia tato. Our gospel reading is from Matthew chapter 20, verses 20 to 28. Praise and glory to God. Te whakamoe miti, te karoria ki te atua. Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem and has just told his followers that he will be killed there, but will come alive again in 3 days' time. Out pops an extraordinary request. Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to Jesus with her sons and, kneeling down, asked a favor of him. "What is it you want?" he asked. She said, "Grant that one of these two sons of mine may sit at your right and the other at your left in your kingdom." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said to them. "Can you drink the cup I am going to drink?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will indeed drink from my cup. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared by my Father." When the 10 heard about this, they were indignant with the other two brothers. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Whoever becomes great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be saved, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." This is the gospel of Christ. Te rongopai tēnei ata karaiti. Praise to Christ the Word. Whakamoe me te tia ia te kupu mana.
Cheers. Well, good morning, everybody. Well, you might have picked up a little bit that the theme kind of for today is about humility, and I'm sure you might appreciate that that's a tough topic to preach on. Because if I stand up here kind of proclaiming myself to be some sort of expert in humility, and that's why I'm preaching on it, I've kind of already stumbled at the first hurdle, haven't I, somewhat? And yet, if I tell you that I actually really struggle with humility, as you would if you had, you know, all this going on, then also I'm probably struggling as well. So it's a tough topic. But as I've been reflecting this week, I wonder if our struggles with humility really come from a sense of our own insecurities, and particularly, I guess, that question that all of us kind of carry somewhere beneath the surface of our lives is a simple question of, am I okay? And the way in which we often try and work out whether we are okay or not is to, unhelpfully, compare ourselves to others. They look okay. Am I like them? They're not okay. I'm much better than them. That kind of comparison. And I guess I first saw this. I talked a little bit about St. Peter a few months ago, and I'm just going to jump back into his story, and then I'm going to pick up the story of another apostle just to kind of give you a bit of a storytelling journey through lessons in humility. So St. Peter, the story that leapt to mind as I was reflecting this week was the story of him getting out of the boat to walk on the water towards Jesus. Well-known story, but if you don't know it, it goes like this. The disciples were traveling in a boat across a lake, and a storm comes up and they're afraid. But in the midst of the storm, Jesus comes walking to them across the water, which makes them even more afraid, actually. But he says to them, "Don't be afraid, it's me, I'm with you." And Peter says, "Well, if it is you, tell me to come out of the boat, onto the water and walk towards you." So Jesus says, "Okay, come." So Peter gets out of the boat and walks on the water towards Jesus. But then he looks around, takes his eyes off Jesus, looks around, and he sees the wind and the waves getting up, and he's afraid, and he begins to sink. And Jesus reaches out to him, takes him by the hand, raises him up, and says, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Now, in my early days of being a Christian, I remember reading this several times and thinking to myself, "Whoa, that's a bit harsh. At least he got out of the boat. There's another 11 guys in the boat who didn't even make the effort. They're still hiding back there. Like, what about them? What are you going to say to them?" But then I heard an interpretation of it that just kind of turned the story for me somewhat. And it was this: what if when Peter starts sinking, Jesus reaches out and grabs him, raises him up and says to him, "You of little faith, why did you doubt?" Maybe he's not saying, "You of little faith, why did you doubt me?" Maybe he's saying, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt yourself?" If God's made us and loves us and has called us, then who are we to say that we're going to sink beneath the waves and not be able to answer that call? I thought, oh, that's interesting. And again, I just realized, oh, isn't that thing when you compare yourself to others? You either fall into one of two temptations, don't you? You compare yourself to others and, you know, you work out that you are brighter than them, more gifted than them, more better looking than them, and you fall into pride. Or you look at people and you go, "Wow, I could never do that," or "I could never be that. They're better looking, more gifted, more intelligent, more successful than me." And you start sliding into despair. And that always seems to be what happens when we compare ourselves to others. There will always be people who are more successful than us, and there will always be people who are less successful for us. But the question really is how are we going in our own journey with God and our own calling? There's that hilarious story right at the end. It's one, you know, Scripture throws up stories sometimes that you just go, that's got to be true, because no one would put that in otherwise. But there's that moment too with Peter, isn't there, right at the end of the Gospels, in the Gospel of John. You know, he's had his ups and downs, he's had his successes and his failures. And Jesus meets them on the beach with some of the other disciples. And he begins this beautiful process of reinstating Peter into his call with great gentleness, love, and grace. It's a beautiful story, and there's this beautiful moment where it kind of lands for Peter, and you can kind of see Peter going, "Wow, okay, yeah, I want to live into that." And you can see Jesus going, great, good, good. And they stand there for a moment. And then Peter goes, but what about that guy? What's happening in his life? What are you going to do with him? And you can just see Jesus going, oh, we were so close. I want to jump into the life of another apostle, St. Paul. Now, when we first meet Paul, he is called Saul, and he is one of the shining stars of the Pharisee movement. As he talks about later, he goes, to be fair, I was one of the best, the most educated, the most connected, the brightest, came from the best family, everyone spoke really well of me. I was the rising star of the Pharisee movement. That's him when we meet him at the beginning of Acts. Then in Acts chapter 9, he has something of a humbling experience, because in his passion and zeal and enthusiasm, he's also stumbled into his own pride and arrogance, thinking he knows what God wants, to really persecute the church. But Jesus appears to him and says, no, why are you persecuting the church? And he is struck blind and also realizes metaphorically just how blind he is. So this guy who's well-educated, the rising star of the Pharisee movement, then takes 3 years out to have his theology realigned so that he can be used by God. And we see something of his journey because Paul writes most of the letters of our New Testament. And so we get to actually get glimpses of how his journey is going over time. So think, this is the guy who's the shining star, the shining light of the Pharisee movement, has that humbling experience. And then in AD 59, he's writing to the church in Corinth and he says this, no longer casting myself as the shining light of the Pharisee movement, I am the least amongst the apostles being the leaders of the early church. So he's kind of just taken it down a notch. Then 4 years later, in AD 63, he's writing to the church in Ephesus and he says, actually, I'm the least of the saints being the believers in the church. So he's kind of going, huh, uh-huh, uh-huh. Then at the end of his life, when he's writing to Timothy, at the end of his life, end of his ministry in AD 64, he says this, I am the foremost, actually, amongst sinners. Whoa. Probably those of us who are getting on a little bit older too would probably recognize that journey in our own lives. Eh? You know, as you kind of get older, as you kind of mature in your faith, as you go through, you kind of become more aware in some ways of your failures and your weaknesses. And so it is this journey with Paul. But the thing that I love about it is that it doesn't lead him into this developing posture of humility doesn't lead him into insecurity or despair. It leads him into a sense of security in his relationship with God through Christ, which is actually really beautiful. He obviously has a sense that he doesn't have to compare himself to others, you know, because if you're comparing yourself to others, you're better than some, you're worse than others. Instead, he's calling us today to be imitators of Christ, right up here. So it would be silly to be going, am I better than Christ? Am I not better than Christ? You know, that is the goal, to be imitators of Christ. And even in that, he talks about what that might look like. And as Robert said, he grabs this hymn that the early church all knew and he puts it into his letter. And he says this, your attitude should be the same as Christ, who being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God as something that would be grasped and held onto. Jesus wasn't insecure in who he was. And that enabled him to lay down his life, humble himself in the incarnation in the flesh as a man, to humble himself even to death, and not just any death, but the death of a criminal on the cross, so that he might fulfill the purposes of God, we might be saved, and he might be raised back up to his rightful place as Lord of all. Jesus teaches the same thing himself, doesn't he? Those who want to save their life, hold on tight to their life, will lose it. But those who are prepared to humble themselves and lay down their life for me will find what it truly means to live. Now, we're in the midst of a Lent journey as a church on our way towards Easter, and Lent is always a time, I think, of kind of stripping things away, stripping away some of the artifice, stripping away some of the things that we find comfort in that are not particularly edifying to our lives, perhaps, so that we might draw closer to God. And we see our whole Lent journey started with reading a gospel reading on the 40 days that Jesus spent in the wilderness too. So he's been there, he's done that. And during that time, he faces temptation too. And the three temptations he faces are articulated quite beautifully by Henri Nguyen. And he says this, it's three temptations really based around the temptation to be relevant, the temptation to be popular, and the temptation to be powerful. And every time he's tempted, he returns to Scripture in terms of grounding himself once more in his relationship with God. And he says, I don't have to worry about being relevant or worried about being popular or worry about being powerful because my identity is found as a child of the living God. I'm a child of God. And when we reach that place in our lives where we find our comfort and contentment and calling in our relationship with God, then we don't need to worry about whether other people, what other people say about us, or how successful we are compared to other people, or how gifted we are. We are just thankful that God has made us. God has loves us. And God has called us. And you know what? We don't have to worry about whether it's an amazing thing or a lesser thing compared to other people, because we just find our satisfaction that God is calling us. We get to be a part of the building of his kingdom, and it's a beautiful thing, whether it's something that other people think of as important or not. You know, I was just sitting here thinking, it's so beautiful, those people who just went out to take our children's ministries today. We have these flourishing children's ministries, and people step out, as you said, people step out of their own need to be in church or whatever, to serve our children. And I just thought, wow, that's amazing. You know, Terry's been doing that for so many years. Well, I get to do the ministry where I stand at the front and everyone goes, wow, that guy's got it all together. Look at him. You know, it's you know what I mean? We do tend to value some things and not others, but when we found our identity in Christ, who cares? Just serving God is good, right? Being part of what God is doing in the world is good. Having our identity firmly rooted in Christ is good. I thought I would finish with a couple of prayers. One's quite a long prayer, actually, but it comes from the Wesleyan tradition. Some of you will know it. It's called a covenant prayer. And it's quite good. And then I'm going to get us to stand in a moment. We're just going to have a reflection on a prayer that's been coming through a lot in our Lectio 365 readings, morning and evening. But I just wonder if you might just for a moment close your eyes. And just, you know, I'm still struggling with that whole let my words be few thing, but out of everything that I've said today, what is important is not that you hear what I've said, but what you hear God might be saying to you through it. And as we do, just allow ourselves to humble ourselves before God, to continue this Lenten journey of having all the extras stuff kind of stripped away, and to simply and very really bring ourselves before God today. And let me pray for us. Lord, I am no longer my own. I am yours. Put me to what you will. Place me with whom you will. Put me to doing, put me to suffering. Let me be put to work for you or set aside for you, praised for you or criticized for you. Let me be full or let me be empty. Let me have all things, let me have nothing. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. Meditate on that again. I freely and fully surrender all things to your glory and service. And now, O wonderful and holy God, creator, redeemer, and giver of life. You are mine and I am yours. So be it. Let this covenant which I have made on earth also be made in heaven. Amen. Ask the worship team to come, and if we could stand, one more prayerful reflection to lead us in.
If you're following the prayer on the 365, the morning prayer and evening prayer on the Lectio 365 app, they often finish with this beautiful prayer that says, Lord, as you will and as you know, have mercy. So I just wonder if we might just quietly just repeat that quietly as we bring ourselves before God. Lord, as you will and as you know, have mercy. Will and as you know, have mercy. Lord, as you will and as you know, have mercy. Lord, as you will and as you know, have mercy. Lord, just strip away everything that we build around us. Everything that we have for our comfort that is not of you. Well, help us to relinquish these lesser loves so that we might love you more. Lord, help everything to find our right place in you, that our identity might be found in you, that our insecurities might be stripped away, that our pride might be stripped away, and we might honestly stand here today, vulnerably in the fullness of your love. As we do, offer our lives to your service, that you would put us to what you will, for your glory, not our own. Lord, as you know and as you will, have mercy. Lord, as you will and as you know, have mercy. All you have given me. is freedom, there's power.
Where there is freedom, there is new power. There is new freedom, and the kingdom is here. I lay down my own ways to carry on you.
Have a sense of yes in the journey through the wilderness, yes in the crushing of, and the renewing, the stripping away. But as that's happening right here today, I just also have that sense of God opening a path and a light and a calling for you as well. Not grounded in our own ego, not grounded in our pride, not grounded in our identity found in wrong places, but a path grounded in God's love for us and his calling upon our lives. So may God continue to open that way in the fullness of hope. May his grace be abundant on our journey and his renewal in our lives being full and lifelong. The Lord is here. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. We thank you, Father, through Jesus your Son, for in these 40 days you lead us into the desert of repentance, that through a pilgrimage of prayer and discipline we might grow in grace and learn to be your people once again. Through fasting, prayer, and acts of service, you bring us back to your generous heart. Through study of your holy word, you open our eyes to your presence in the world and free our hands to welcome others into the glorious splendor of your love. And so we join with saints and angels and with all the company of heaven, forever praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. As we remember your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the good he did, the people he healed, the way he served, send your Holy Spirit that this bread and this wine may be to us his body and his blood. On the night before he died, Jesus had supper with his friends. He took bread, he gave you thanks, he broke it, he gave it to them saying, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this
to remember me. And after supper, he took the cup, and when he had given you thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it, to remember me. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Look with favor on your people and in your mercy. Hear the cry of our hearts. Bless the earth. Heal the sick. Let the oppressed go free. And fill your church with power from on high. Amen. Come, Holy Spirit. United in Christ with all who stand before you in earth and heaven, we worship you, O God, in songs of everlasting praise. Blessing, honor, and glory be yours, here and everywhere, now and forever. Amen. Would you please sit or kneel, and as Christ teaches us, we pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Break this bread to share in the body of Christ. For we who are many are one body, for we all share the one bread. Haere mai e te kahui ata atua. Haere mai ki te tepu ata karaiti. Come, God's people, come to receive Christ's heavenly food.
Thank you.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for feeding us on this Lenten journey, for sustaining us even in the wilderness. We pray that as we continue this journey, we might continue to journey closer to your heart and be more and more your faithful people. And for all of you, may the blessing of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, be with you and those whom you love and pray for now and always.
Okay, it's time for our celebration time. So if you've had a birthday in the last week or coming up this week or an anniversary or something that we need to celebrate, please come on up. Oh, I knew there'd be somebody. That's awesome. Okie dokie, who go? Oh, someone else is coming. See, you've helped someone remember. Hugo, tell me what you're celebrating.
Tomorrow is my birthday.
Wow, Hugo, and you must be going to be about six. I thought you might be six, Hugo. Here we go. Here we go. Take one of those. Find one that you like. Oh, brothers need one too, of course. Brothers need. There's a crunchy down there. Have a quick look. Dark chocolate, you happy with that? Oh, okay, stay here, Hugo. We've got to sing to you. We've got to sing to you. Stay here.
Juanita. Hi, I'm Juanita, and I am multiplying Hugo's age by 10 on Saturday.
Oh, wow, that's good, Juanita. And when is that?
On Saturday, the 28th.
And we just add that on Friday, the 27th, is my birthday. And I'm a little bit older than you. I'm 68 on next Friday. So, are we ready for singing, guys? All right. Have patience, we pray, may God bless you. Good job, guys. You can go now. All righty. And do we have any notices, please? Come on up. That's awesome. I'm sure that I saw a whole lot of photos on Facebook this morning of yesterday's event. Congratulations to those organisers. And over $2,000 for the food share program. And it looked incredible. Well done, guys. And if there are any further donations, who will receive them? Who takes them? All right. Stand up so that they could see you, please. Sorry, and I've forgotten your name. Okay, so roll up. Roll up with those extra donations, please, if you weren't able to make it. It's growing. That's awesome. Well done. Thank you.
Thanks. It's a Women's Fellowship for the Waikanae churches and the wider community, meets on the fifth Monday of the month. So I just wanted to remind you that it's not tomorrow, it's actually on the 30th. And this month we have Candice Wilson, who is a community manager for Large Kapiti, and she worships with us here, and she's going to come and share some of her story and tell us about the community. So you're all welcome. Please put it on your calendars. We'd love to see you there. 2 o'clock here, Monday the 30th in the hall.
And shortly after that, we are going to have an autumn sale on Saturday, the 11th of April. That's the Saturday after Easter. And I'm not sure if we'll do as well as yesterday's fundraiser, which was absolutely wonderful. And we need to particularly thank Gloria and Linda for that. So, raising funds for our church funds so that we can pay our staff and carry out our other ministries, we're having a garage sale because we've got a collection of things at Val's garage, and we can take one or two other quality items, and plants are always needed. And as we're calling it autumn sale, there may be some produce that you have, or it would be lovely to have some jam or that you, or pickle or whatever you can make. So we will be having a variety of things, including clothes. We have, as I said, quite a few items already, but if you've got quality items, we'd love to have them. And we'll also be asking for your help to help set up and sell in due course. Thank you.
Thank you, Alison, and for everything you do for all those fundraisers. All right. I just want to remind you before we sing our next last song, always there are people here who are more than ready to pray with you. There's something in specifically that you just feel like you just want someone backing you in prayer on that, or you feel for yourself that it would be really helpful, please always come to the front after our service. There's always somewhere, one here to pray with you. And we have morning tea next door in the hall, and it would be great if you could join those who gather in there too. Thank you. Music team.
Brilliant. Should we jump to our feet for our final song? We lost our drummer mid-service. But fortunately, we have very resonant pews, so if you want to slap a pew or tap along or all that kind of thing, that would be wonderful. And we'll just turn this into a Cayley Hall, shall we? Because it goes something like this. Woo!
In my wrestling and in my doubts, in my failures, you won't walk out. Your great love will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubles.
Thank you, music team. I don't know about you, but the choices of some of those songs this morning were really important for me and for the people that I'm praying for and caring for at the moment. So thank you. God has used you this morning. So go now to love and serve the Lord.
Amen. We go in the name of Christ.
God be with you.